The President pitches his plan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. President Obama lobbies for his combined budget and economic rescue plan on Capitol Hill today. He told reporters at his news conference last night that the two of those things, spending and recovery, are inseparable. And although even some House and Senate Democrats are voicing concerns about worse-than-feared deficits, Obama insists he's leading the country out of the mess, not deeper into one.
Here's what I do know. If we don't tackle energy, if we don't improve our education system, if we don't drive down the costs of health care, if we're not making serious investments in science and technology and our infrastructure, then we won't grow 2.6%, we won't grow 2.2%. We won't grow.
Still, Obama said he's realistic enough to know Congress won't approve everything he's proposing. Overseas markets are mixed today. Stocks in Britain, Germany, and France are up modestly at this hour. But Asian markets put in a mixed performance. Japan's Nikkei closed down 0.1%. But some of the numbers out of Japan today are absolutely horrid. Japanese exports have fallen by almost half. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from the Marketplace Asian desk. Scott, if you're a Japanese business that depends on exports, this news has got to take your breath away.
I'm looking, Bob, at a chart of Japanese exports over the last year, and all I can think of is when you're at the top of the roller coaster and it starts by creeping down, and then suddenly, whoosh, you know, it starts to go in free fall and everybody's screaming. And right now, everybody's screaming, down 49% year over year. I mean, in many ways, Japan is doing worse than the U.S. is right now, Bob.
Well, when you talk about the U.S., Japan depends a lot on exports. How much of this is the American consumer?
It's the American consumer, but as you look at the numbers, it's also the consumers in the EU and consumers in China. All of them are just falling off the table right now. And before this global recession hit, Japan and China and many of the Asian countries were more and more reliant to consumers overseas compared to consumers at home. So when soccer moms and dads in the U.S. and Europe stopped buying, they took everybody down with them.
Well, the obvious question for those of us here is the Japanese auto industry. Is the news as bad there?
It is as bad as it is anywhere. Of Japanese exports, autos are two-fifths of their export market. In the last few days, Toyota, Nissan, Honda all came out and all said that their production shrank by about half compared to last year. So it goes from bad to worse out here.
The not-so-bright news from the land of the rising sun. Marketplace's Scott Tong from our Asian desk. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
The 14th annual Kick Butts Day has nothing to do with the part of your anatomy that might come to mind, but everything to do with your overall health. Students across the country will draw attention today to the health hazards associated with smoking. Advocates say even though these events help discourage teen smoking, 3,500 kids still light up for the first time every day and bring tobacco products fresh sales. Danielle Carson reports.
Students get creative for Kick Butts Day.
They stage mock funerals for the Marlboro Man.
Dan McColdrick is with the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. He says events like these have helped cut teen smoking in half in the past decade, but the decline is leveling off. These campaigns can't compete with the $13 billion tobacco companies spend on advertising. Cliff Douglas heads the Tobacco Research Network at Michigan University. He says tobacco companies sell brands like Marlboro at a discount. Plus,
they've introduced an array of fruit-flavored tobacco products that appeal explicitly to new users, almost all of whom are children.
But Philip Morris spokesman Bill Phelps disputes that.
Our marketing goal is to find ways to responsibly connect our brands with adult smokers.
The House is expected to pass a bill before it adjourns next week, giving the Food and Drug Administration the authority to regulate tobacco. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing, ConstantContact.com.
Details of the new climate bill are emerging from Washington this week, and Congress is examining the implications of legislation designed to restrict carbon gas emissions. But we can't fight the battle against global warming alone. How do we get other countries to do likewise? Commentator Will Wilkinson observes, we may already be off to a bad start.
Last week, Energy Secretary Stephen Chu said the U.S. should be open to slapping tariffs on imports from countries that fail to implement their own carbon reduction policies. Meanwhile, China has threatened trade war if faced with carbon duties, which it says are illegal under World Trade Organization agreements. Trade restrictions tend to leave all involved poorer, making trade war a frightening prospect during an already immiserating recession. So how did we come to have the energy secretary provoking threats of mutually destructive trade sanctions? Here's how. Either all the big, carbon-intensive economies reduce their emissions, or there's little chance of reducing warming. If the climate modelers are right, we'll all be better off if everyone pitches in. But each has an incentive to hold out, since countries that don't pitch in will enjoy lower energy costs and a competitive advantage in international markets. Chu rightly points out that Obama's proposed cap-and-trade scheme will put American manufacturers at a relative disadvantage. So how do we avoid this and make sure countries like China don't get a leg up? In short, we can't. There is no mechanism, no global government, to compel compliance. And it's dangerously naive to think that China, who is the world's largest owner of dollar-denominated assets, is in a weaker bargaining position than the U.S. We poke the dragon at our peril. Cap-and-trade is sure to raise costs for struggling American consumers, but it won't much reduce warming unless countries like China and India fall in line. Yet neither the U.S. nor Europe can just force this to happen. If we try by imposing carbon duties, we'll hurt consumers even more by raising the cost of imports and possibly start a trade war no one will win. Chu's remarks highlight the fact that cap-and-trade is a costly, risky gambit. But now is not the time. Suffering workers and consumers can't afford to lose again.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. We always invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.